allow me a few moments. I want to take you through what this has all been about, why we're doing this today, and then to take communion together. Don't feel like you got to turn your chairs around. That's not necessary in the room. This came out of, again, conversations about a couple different things that I'll share with you. And today was all about worshiping together, connecting together, and then we want to take communion together. So why the change? Here's what I'm wrestling with. And you should all be wrestling with things at times through ideas, scriptures. You should have scriptures you're trying to, well, what does that mean? So here's what I'm wrestling with, okay? And I talked to our leadership group, our team leaders about this, that I'm wrestling with the idea that communion at times has just been an add-on. In other words, it's that Sunday. Oh, we better get it out, right? We got to take communion together. It's just been an add-on. And if you're not reading things that challenge you, you should, because that's where it really started. I picked up a book called If Jesus Was Serious About the Church. And it, if I may use this phrase, kicked my butt so hard that I just started giving it to my pastor friends, because I said all the conviction shouldn't be here. Okay, you should share in this. So we have talked through that a lot because it's challenged me with this, among many other things, that communion just ends up being an add-on when in the early church it wasn't. It was so much a part of their gathering when they gathered that I was like, how do we do this? And so that's what I've been wrestling with. How do we do this? And that's where talking about how do we connect better, because, you know, we do have new people coming in and we do want to connect with those of you who are in our online audience. How do we do that better? And so we're trying to figure out, can we do a couple of those things as we have tables and can gather around so that we can connect together and take communion, and that this isn't an add-on, it's the focus of the service this morning. It becomes the focus, and I think you'll see why when I open up the text to you from 1 Corinthians 11. See, communion is not about me, and if I'm not careful, that's what I make it about. I make it about me, and it's not. It's about the body of Christ. So sometimes it just becomes an add-on because, well, gosh, we have schedules. And, you know, I try to make sure I'm conscious of your time, that you come here, that we just don't, you know, have long services and we're not mindful of that. And if we're just not careful, that's what I've just found out. This becomes about me and my preferences, my wants. And that's what happened in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Paul's got to address the church in Corinth because that's what communion became about. It became about them and what they wanted to do, and people went ahead of one another. And you've got to understand, to sit at a table in the first century with people who are different than you, slaves would not sit with free men, okay? Women would not sit with men, okay? There were all these divisions. Jews and Gentiles would not sit together. But when they came to know Christ, that was Paul's admonishment, you ought to be sitting together. I don't care if you don't sit together in anything else in society. This is the church. And he says, you will sit together and you will understand what it is to connect together. And this thing called communion is about the body of Christ. It's not about all our separations that are so easy to make. It's about being one. So I'd like to just remind you of some things through 1 Corinthians 11, if I could, for the next couple of minutes. Now, in giving the following instructions, Paul says, I do not praise you because you come together not for the better, but for the worst. So think about it. Their worst time together was communion. That doesn't sound good. That doesn't sound good. And he talks about all different instances where they wouldn't wait for one another, or they would look and say, well, you're a slave. You don't get to do this. They would leave people out. Leave out poor people. They would do all sorts of different things. And he goes, I almost wish you wouldn't do it, because when you do it, it's not doing anything good for you. It's actually doing bad. And I don't want you to experience that anymore. So he says, I got to talk to you about some of this. And so I'm going to skip a little bit in this chapter. For every time, and this is what he's telling us, and maybe we don't even think of this. For every time you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Sometimes with our add-ons, we just miss that. And we're like, okay, we got this cup down. We got 5 minutes. Let's go. And we try to do things in time, and we don't understand. We're taking this. We are proclaiming that Jesus died for me, rose again for me, and rose again for everybody else sitting around the table with me. And we proclaim that. That's what we proclaim. That's what we're saying by taking that together. A person should examine himself first, and in this way, let him eat the bread and drink of the cup. So I don't know if you had an experience in church growing up. I was always told, you know, this is personal. I got to ask God, are there any sin in my life? And what if, and this is where I've been considering lately, what if this is actually asking us to do something that Jesus told us to do in the Sermon on the Mount that we've been talking about? That the examining of ourselves, the how are things going, isn't just personal, and how am I with God? How am I with the people around the table? So remember this from Matthew chapter 5. So then if you bring your gift to the altar and they remember that your brother has something against you, what do? You leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to your brother, and then come and present your gift. What if Paul's just echoing that and saying the examination isn't just how am I doing with my Heavenly Father? Because we tend to do that instead of also doing how am I with each other? And perhaps around the table we go, oh man, you know, I get something against somebody and they're a fellow follower of Christ and I shouldn't, and we should talk about it. It helps us pause and say, how is everything with the people around me that are part of this body of Christ? So think about it. If it's just an add-on, we don't think about that stuff. We don't have time to think about that stuff. We got to go. We got to go. We got to get this done. Instead of saying, how am I with God and how am I with each other? It's both ways. And we've tended to take that verse from Paul and just say, oh, it's just about how I'm doing with God. No, what if it's the other way too? And it's how I'm doing with the people around me. But if we examine ourselves, he says, we would not be judged. And they had all sorts of things happening in that church in Corinth. And he goes, do you realize we're not inviting the blessing of God on our life when we're not right with each other? We're just not inviting God to work and bless in our life when we've got broken relationships all over the place with other followers of Christ. It's like, get that right. Just figure that out. Sit down together. Pray together. Work it out. As much as it depends on you, work it out. Figure it out how you do life together. And I hope that this morning, just being able to ask those questions, and in the room sitting around the table and online being able to do that with Pastor Ryan, has helped you just think about the person across from you. The person across from you. And maybe you don't know them very well, but they're here because they're following Jesus. And they want to be a part of a group of people following Jesus. And that means at times they're going to need encouragement and prayer and help and assistance. And they might not totally be like you. They might root for the worst team you could think of in football, okay? I know that because I do it. So anyway, right? They might do that. They might like things you don't like. I was in a pastor's gathering the other day, and they were talking about the new restaurant in Indianola, Charlotte's Kitchen. Haven't been there. And one of the pastors said, it was amazing having Brussels sprouts. To which the other pastor looked and he said, isn't that a bad word? I mean, a Brussels sprout? You went there for Brussels sprouts? Are you crazy? So it's very easy to find things that we don't like, that are very different. And it's very easy to divide over those things. Very easy. But around the table, Paul was telling them, and I think reminding us today, we're one. We are one. Unity was so important to Jesus. I'm going to tell you how important it was. With the next thing that was going to happen in his life, where he would be arrested, beaten, nailed to a cross, he's praying. Now, what do you think he might pray in that moment? Is there any way we can do this some other way? Yeah, he had that conversation with God. Do you know what he prayed for as he looked at his followers there and his followers someday? This is what he prayed. That they may be one. Just as, Father, we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may be completely one. So that, why is it so important that they're one? So that the world will know that you sent me. Isn't that fabulous? That one of the greatest testimonies we could have to people in our family, in our communities, in our neighborhoods, at coworkers, that when we come to church, yeah, we're really different, but we're one. We're one. We are here because of Jesus. Jesus is working in our lives, and I can look across and say, that's what Jesus asks us to do, is to be one so that the world will know who he is. And at this time of year, this is a great time of year. This is a great time of year to proclaim that he has come and that we are one together. So communion says we are one. We have the same cup and the same bread in front of all of us. Same one. We are one. We are one with Jesus, and we are one with each other. And so hopefully as you ask those questions, you saw some differences. You got to know the person. You're like, oh, I didn't know that. I didn't know that. I sat at a table for a few minutes and found out stuff. You know, you're just like, wow, because you don't know everything about each other. And some of you are just knowing people for the first time, and you're introducing them and finding out their name. But what you need to know when we take this cup together, that we might be really different. Different jobs, live in different neighborhoods. Maybe some of you don't even live in Indianola. Some of I know our online audience doesn't even live in the state of Iowa. But we take that cup together, and we are one. That means we fight for each other and love one another and help one another every chance we can get. So my question is, are you one with Jesus and with each other? That as you looked around the table, you looked and said, there's a person that I'm one with. I can pray for them, encourage them. I would do whatever I could for them. I hope we would experience that. We would experience that in just a few moments today that we got to connect together and to be around the table. So, for those of you online, you can grab any element you have at home to join us with this. For those in the room, I'd ask you to grab those two cups I left for you. You can separate them. The reason Jesus had these elements on the table was because of Passover. And he took that and did something totally different. His disciples would look and said, that's never how a Passover went. So he took the bread, and it said he broke it. And he said, this is my body, which is broken for you. Eat this in remembrance of me. Notice around the table, we all ate the same bread. We are one. Jesus then took the cup. The cup was a special cup. It was the cup of redemption. And he told them something. He said, this is the new covenant. There is something new happening in my death and resurrection. He said, this is the new covenant in my blood. And then he invited us, drink this in remembrance of me. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until the day he comes. We're going to pray together. I'm going to invite our worship team to come up, and we're going to end in a joyous way, a resounding way, with a song that hopefully many of you know. How great thou art, just to proclaim the goodness and greatness of God and the goodness of being together this morning with all that God has and has planned for us. So let's pray and we'll worship together. Heavenly Father, I pray that this morning in just maybe a little way, we experience the oneness you prayed about. As we looked around the table and saw new people and got introduced, as we saw people we knew, but found out something new. That what matters is we are one. We took the same cup, the same bread, and we are proclaiming what you have done for us until the day that you come. This is the already, where we get a chance to live in unity and encourage one another and love one another and pray for one another. And I pray perhaps in a small way today, getting to know each other a little bit will create that opportunity. I also pray that you remind us that it isn't about me. It is about you and what you have done. And so would you remind us if there's relationships that can be restored? As far as it goes with us, we can't make anybody do anything, but we can make our first move and see what you would do in spite of that. Father, I just ask now as we proclaim your goodness, your greatness, that we would sing it out of abundance of joy for the way that you are working and moving in our hearts and lives. Father, thank you for your work. Thank you for all that you have done. We worship you now. In Jesus' name, amen.